Hey everybody. My name is Brutes, and I'm a very grateful member of Al-Anon. My wife and I are also Amiuses. We get the privilege of being of service to our Alateens. They're our future Al-Anons. So we're it's been my honor to do that for quite a while now. Let me get way up on this mic. First of all, thank you very much to Matt. Matt, you're right there. You're right there in Chicago. Thank you. And I appreciate you. It's always an honor, a privilege to get to share our story. And second of all, thank you to Eric for introducing us. Yes, Eric is my sponsor. He's outstanding. And my life has changed. Third of all, thank you to 7 o'clock Let's Rock and the founders, Willie, Pat. You guys, thank you for holding it together until I was ready to come back to Al-Anon. Because I came in the late 90s and I wasn't ready. You know, I grew up in a household that was full of violence and bloodshed. And, now, after doing a lot of step work and looking at this life that I had, oh, I guess it's I saw what my prime. So I'm a guy who stuffed his feelings down in his entire life. Always had a problem with my feelings, and my sponsors helped me a lot to get those feelings out and identify them. If you've ever seen the feelings sheet, you know what I'm talking about. There's positive feelings, there's negative feelings, there's maybe seven or eight headings and about 40 sub feelings under each heading. Great tool. And the primary feelings I had as a kid were terror and paranoia. Those two. That's what I had. Didn't know that until I started doing step work here. Highly recommend the steps and traditions, concepts of service and living them. We live the traditions in our home. Grateful for that. And so relationships were difficult for me. Very, very difficult. I never was successful with relationships until now. So it's kind of a miracle story. I'm really grateful. I'm one of the luckiest men in the world that I know. Because look what happened. I have an incredible family. Ever since I was 4 years old in kindergarten, I had a dream of having a family, this dream of that family. You know what I mean? Not this family, that family. And I can say after a lot of work, step work and work and program, I've got that family today. I'm very grateful for that. And so went along and every relationship failed. It was a nightmare. And I was never able to see the common denominator. Yeah. Until, a guy suggested I come to Al-Anon because I had a marriage that was failing. And I came for about 6 months and related to everything. I knew right away that I related to everything, all the literature, and I knew it was my place. But that relationship dissolved, and so I just went along my merry way. Now, cut to when the product of that relationship became older, and that's where my real issues started. My issue was that I had an acceptance problem. I didn't know how to accept people exactly for who they are and love them for who they are. I thought everything should be my way, right? You'll hear some more of that from my wife. Won't we? And so it got really heavy in the household. And by this time, so the thing is, my wife and I, my current wife, we've been together, God, it's 15 and a half years now, married for 10 and a half. I don't know about you guys, but that's a miracle and a world record for me. It's working out. It was rough in the beginning, I can tell you that. Not easy, because we were a blended family. So it's my daughter from a previous marriage, her daughter from a previous marriage. We both had nightmare movie of the week divorces and never wanted to be with anyone ever again. And we were both full-time single parents and just wanted to raise our daughters on our own. That was it. We literally bumped into each other on the street because I guess it was time. Not my time, not her time. And so we put this family together and it was amazing. But some of the issues from the past relationship came up in our family member, you know, and it's not easy to deal with. And I can tell you, I was so deep in step one, I didn't know what I was going to do. I was totally powerless over the actions of our oldest daughter. And our lives, all of our lives in the household, were completely unmanageable. And something happened. You know, I was losing my mind, really. And something happened in my head, the back of my head, you know, sector 248G right back here. And it says, oh, remember Al-Anon? Oh, so here's what happened. I said, okay, yeah, I gotta get back to Al-Anon. And so I went to a convention, sat in on an Al-Anon marathon meeting. And the guy leading that marathon meeting said something close to this. He said, I come to Al-Anon because I try to make you feel good so that I can feel better in your presence. That hit me just right in the chest. Like, okay, yeah. And then he said, my home group is the La Cañada 7 o'clock Let's Rock men's meeting. So I said, okay, I think I need to go there. So I came here and you guys saved my life, saved my family's life, totally transformed our whole family from a family in absolute despair into the happy family that I always dreamed of. How does that happen? Willingness, a lot of willingness, a lot of patience, a lot of tolerance. Man, it was rough. You know, we went through this, and you know, I was on the phone with 911 a lot, trying to get help. I couldn't control the situation. And what happened was, I found out that. Well, I came here and I heard my sponsor. He wasn't the sponsor I was looking for, but just the way he read a piece of literature up here at one of the meetings, and then the way he shared for a 3-minute share, just something told me that that's exactly the guy. And so I started working with him, working steps. So I can tell you there's these miracles of surrender in my life, right? The first one is the surrender of when I had completely, before I met my current family, I had completely given up hope. I was done with relationships. I was not only never going to get married again, never going to have a girlfriend, not even interested in dating, nothing. I was absolutely done, 100% surrender. And that's when we literally bumped into each other on the street. The first big surrender in my life that may had a big impact. The second one was when I finally surrendered, came to Al-Anon, started working with my sponsor, did the first step. And the extra assignment of the first step was the one that got me. And that extra assignment said, okay, put everything, list on the right side of the page or left side of the page in a column, all the ways you try to control Like, oh, okay. I had a few ideas, but then my sponsor said, well, how about this? Do you ever try to tell a joke to make somebody laugh? I said, oh, yeah, all the time. It's like, well, you're trying to control how they feel, aren't you? Yeah. So that started off some more, and then some more suggestions. And then the next thing you know, I got 69 different ways I try to control people and manipulate people. And I had no clue. Okay, so now on the left hand or the right hand side of the page, for you watching at home, left hand, me up here, right. List after each name, after each way you try to control, list the outcome of that. And now there was a few outcomes that maybe I had some temporary control, but it always ended up with no control. So every outcome was failure eventually. And so when I saw that, I immediately saw this, and this is the big surrender with our oldest daughter, is I'm up here in front of her trying to play higher power, trying to tell her what to do, trying to help her in her life. And she's in front of me right here. Hi, camera, you guys right there. And what I'm doing is I'm blocking her from her higher power, which is over here, whatever that is. When I saw that through that exercise, I knew I had to step out of the way. When I stepped out of the way, the miracle happened. A higher power was able to step in. That was the school district. And she ended up, because one of the attempts was at school, she ended up getting institutionalized for a year. And that saved her life. Dad surrendering. That's number two, surrender. Number three, surrender. Last November, I got one of the greatest birthday presents I ever got. My company that I've been working for 30 years, said, it's like, hey, we need you in a Zoom meeting tomorrow morning, 0800. Okay, cool. Get on the meeting. And it's HR, it's legal, it's my manager. And they said, well, we're laying you off. It was a high level business decision. You didn't do anything wrong. That's just the way it is. Okay. So I had a couple of feelings after that. And thanks to the work I did in program, guess what? I was able to look, identify those feelings and know what to do. So what did I do? The first feeling I had was fear. And it had nothing to do with finances or anything like that. The fear was, how is it going to affect my family? So I waited until my wife came home all day. So now it's 1600, 4 p.m. for civilians. And she comes home. I sit her down. I told her the news. She looks at me and says, don't worry. I've been saving us a lot of money. See, I married an Al-Anon. And she says, I've been saving so much money that we can probably live the same lifestyle we're living right now for another 2 years, even if you'd never work again. I said, oh, excellent. Next feeling I had, well, this feeling came right after that Zoom meeting with my with legal. And that feeling was revenge. That lasted about 30 seconds. Because I knew that if I'm dealing with a company that makes $100 billion every year, they've got a deep legal team. And I was already in court with custody issues for 14 years with my ex and our daughter. I'm not going back to court again. So that feeling went quick. I was done. The third feeling I got, and it was a very strong feeling, it was overwhelming, and it was the greatest feeling I've had in a long time. It's absolute freedom. Free to do whatever I wanted at that point. So we went to Thailand for 2 months, dragged my mom along with us. And We hung out. We looked at a lot of property. We both spoke at a convention over there in Thailand, and came back and said, "Okay, let's sell off everything we own and pack two bags and move. We're gone." I said, "Okay, I'm cool with that. Let's go. Done. Game over." And then I got a call back after 6 months of, and it was nice, really nice severance package. 6 months of a really nice paid vacation. Got a call back, and the guy says this. He says, "Hey, I'm a partner of your old company. They want you back really bad. They just don't want to pay your insurance or 401k or any of that stuff. They don't want to deal with that. But if you want, you can come to work for us, and we'll lease you out to them, doing the same exact job, and you'll be a W-2 hourly, the bonus word hourly employee with us, and we'll pay you double what they were giving you." So what did I do? Tradition one, right? Family meeting. Unity, it's all about unity. Talk to my wife. Here's the opportunity. What do I do? Let's talk about it, right? Because whatever I do affects the whole family. And we talked and we talked, and it's like, okay, if you take the job, we can sell off everything slowly. We can just bankroll everything, and then we'll be really set for our retirement. But she says, no stress, number one. Good luck on that. Number two, I'm giving you 2 years. That's it. I'm cutting you off. So that's where I'm at right now. That was a huge surrender of this career that I've had forever, one of my careers. And I learned a lot from that. Just the power of surrendering is really has blown me away. And I can only surrender because I had so much trust, right? Trust in this higher power, these higher powers, because that was another exercise my sponsor gave me. And finding out all the different higher powers that are actually in my life at work, that was really cool. I saw a lot. And it's a lot of them are all of you guys in this room. Because right now we got a room, estimates about, maybe 200 people in this room. And the, as a group, we're all more powerful than the one right here, the one in his head. So, but I want to do right now is I'm going to introduce you to our daughter Ginger, and because I want you to hear her story, and then my wife's too. But thank you again for you guys for having us come up.
Hi, I'm Ginger. Well, I thought I had 4 more minutes to prepare, so put me on the spot a little. Sorry. Okay. Hi, I'm Ginger. I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon. I started coming to Al-Anon when I wasn't even old enough to be an Alateen yet. I was dragged there with my mom because they don't have babysitting for 12-year-olds, but it was fine. I preferred to go to AA meetings. Those were more fun. There was better stories. Just being honest, Al-Anon was just like my mom and all her friends complaining, talking about how they couldn't control anything. Everything was going horribly. AA was like, "Yeah, we stopped drinking. Life is great. We are crazy." I was like, "Oh, that's awesome." When we went to conventions, I would go to Alateen meetings because at some point, being 12 and 13, they're like, there's really not a difference. Like, you can come into the room. And as you will hear from my mom and you heard from my dad, there was no room for me to control anything at home. Like, even if I wanted to control something, it was not possible. My mom had put all the labels in our cabinet facing out. All the water bottles had to be facing the exact same way, so it could be the Kirkland. Everything had a place in the home. There was a place for me to do my homework. Couldn't take food in my room. Like, everything was set. There was no room for me to control anything there. So when I went to the Alateen meeting, I was like, oh my God, this place is a mess. Like, there's so much room for me to control. I can fix everything. Like, they don't know what they're doing. I was so excited. Finally, my own place to like let out this need to control things. So I like to say I'm a recovering control freak and people pleaser, because I think those things go hand in hand a lot for a lot of Al-Anons. But as time went on, I realized I didn't need to fix anything. The meeting was already working and functioning perfectly fine before I got there, and will continue to work perfectly fine after I leave. But I went to a lot of early Alateen meetings, at least with my sister, who was my main qualifier at the time, because we're 3 years apart. I don't think most Al-Anons go into their Al-Anon meeting having to, not be able to share because their qualifier is in the room, but it's pretty difficult because I don't want to share anything for a really long time. And I don't know how to, excuse my language, I don't know how to shut the fuck up. Like, I never have. I've always been a really talkative kid. And so that was the first time in my life where I was forced to be silent because I couldn't share. Like, you couldn't have done anything to make me share with my sister in the room with me. Like, that was just simply not going to happen. I didn't want to know what the repercussions were going to be when we got home. I didn't feel comfortable. And so instead of just like bottling it up, I at least got some release of hearing other kids my age going through the same issues. And I actually got to listen to them and hear what they were doing and what they were going through and creating this fellowship, because there was just stuff going on in all our lives that like no 13 or 14 year old should be experiencing. Experiencing for their whole life, for our whole lives. And so it took a really long time. I was just remembering like one of the early Alateen meetings I went to, the South Bay Roundup. Like, my sister was there, and like my dad said, the 911 knew my voice. They knew what address went to the little 12, 13 year old calling. And that weekend, something was going on, and she like came into the Alateen meeting and was like, yeah, I almost got arrested this morning, and was like expecting everyone to kind of, be like, oh, that's so cool. And all of us were just like, it was just silence. And I don't think she went to another Alateen meeting with me after that. And finally, after that, I think someone in the meeting just pulled me aside and was like, hey, if you need my number, if you want to talk outside of the meeting, like, I'm here to listen. Because I just didn't have anyone to talk to. I wasn't going to talk to kids at school. Like, my mom had taught me from a very young age, like, you need to be perfect. You need to show everyone that you're perfect. You need to, like, express yourself in a certain way, like no hair out of place, no grade lower than an A, like all these things. And that's just not me. Like, I'm a messy person. I would pull my hair out before we went to ballet. Like, I just like hated all those things, but I was so afraid of my Alamom and like the repercussions that I was like, I have to be perfect. Like, if I do something wrong, then it's going to cause more stress, because then they can't give 100% of their focus on my sister. And my sister's the problem, right? Like, I'm obviously not the problem because I'm doing everything perfectly. And so all of this like just kept going on. And I was like, well, once my sister turns 18, once my sister gets help, like all this stuff that we try to convince ourselves, like once they fix their problems, all of our problems are going to get better. I was so excited. And then she went to what I called boarding school, because I had a resentment for a while, because I always wanted to go to boarding school because I thought if I removed myself from the house, then all my problems would go away. But then that would require me, to get institutionalized. That was not something I wanted. All this stuff. So anyway, she goes, I'm like, okay, everything's gonna be perfect. Wrong, because now my Ala mom and Ala dad were just like focusing on me. And I was like, this is way too much attention. So it's just like not the attention that I thought I wanted from you guys. Like, I thought I wanted, for you guys to like give me the thumbs up, but now that you're doing it, like, I just don't want this. And my escape was Alateen. I just got really, really involved. I went to my meeting. When I finally got my car, the only place my mom let me drive on my own was my Tuesday night Alateen meeting. It was in Burbank, which was a 30-minute drive, and I had to go on the freeway at night, but she said it was okay. I was so hyped. We went to McDonald's after. Like, it was so great. Sometimes she let me venture a little further. Went to the Torrance meeting once. That was a really far drive. But getting to go to those meetings, I met friends and fellowships that I still have to this day, 10 plus years later. But it got me involved in working conventions and commitments. My family's huge on, showing up for our commitments and like being a part of program in just so many different ways, whether it's like music or just being a greeter, all these things. And like for so long, my mom would sign me up to be a greeter with her. And I was like, I have to give strange people hugs. And I just didn't like that. It was not my form of commitment. And finally, my friends asked me to be part of a SCAC committee, which for those of you that don't know, is a Southern California Alateen convention, which I don't think we any longer have, but I got to be on committee for the last 3 years that it was there. And Willie and my dad both spoke, and that was really awesome. And I was a program chair that year, and there's just like nothing that brought me more joy than seeing 300 other fucked up teenagers like recovering together in one room and all saying the serenity prayer together and, getting to experience program in the way that we didn't think was possible. Like, it wasn't just like old women in the room complaining anymore. It was like other people your age experiencing the same things and talking the steps and traditions and going about it in our own way, in whatever way we needed. And I'm so grateful for my time that I spent there because it was my extracurricular, I guess. I was my outlet after being so high strung like all of high school and middle school and like trying to be perfect for my parents. And when I finally like had a mental breakdown, I was able to turn to Alateen and go to my meeting and be like, wow, like I can't hold this facade up anymore. Like I genuinely can't pretend to be perfect. Like this is just not gonna work. And getting to like have a meeting that was there with open arms and go to an Al-Anon meeting with have open arms and have like all my aunts and uncles like give me a hug and be like, it's okay, you have your whole life ahead of you. Like just keep coming back. It's like, I don't want to keep coming back. I want to be in Alateen and I want to be done. I don't want to come to Al-Anon. I was in so much denial still. But I couldn't see that our whole family had changed. I had seen myself like kind of feel like I got worse because I was opening up finally and finally feeling my emotions that I'd put aside for so long. And I didn't notice that all of a sudden, like, my mom was a little nicer when I was sad, or my dad was like, do you want to go ski in the mountain when I didn't feel good? And those weren't things that we would have been able to do, before we all found Al-Anon. And so as I got older, I think I got to accept the program more because it's always been something that's been a part of our family in our life. We'd make every big decision with a family meeting. When I chose where I was going to college, we had a family meeting. When we choose what job we're going to accept, we have a family meeting. If someone doesn't feel good, we have a family meeting. Because I hate them so much. My dad was talking about the feeling sheet. I hated that feeling sheet so much because once whoever showed it to him, I had a resentment. I have resentment. Thanks, because all of a sudden, like me saying, I don't know or I don't care was not an acceptable answer anymore. The sheet was printed, pulled out, and it was like, well, pick which one of these feelings you are currently feeling. And I was like, I don't care. Like, none of these, they're like, no, we're not gonna, this meeting doesn't end. This meeting does not adjourn until you pick one of the feelings on the feeling sheet. I hated that feeling sheet so much for so long. I think honestly, my greatest resentment was that feeling sheet for so long. I just couldn't get over it. And something I learned while I was in program is like I tried to deny it for so long is, I suffer from my own mental illnesses outside of it. And that's something that like my family doesn't. And so for me, seeing that feeling sheet, I was like, well, I just feel hopeless, like all the time. And that wasn't acceptable. It's like, well, let's go to a meeting. And I was like, I just feel nothing. Like, I don't feel anything on that sheet. But then I met other people that were also feeling that way that were my age because, we're just a product of our surroundings and we all grew up in these like messed up homes and it was just so exciting. But sorry, losing my train of thought. But thanks, Mom. But yeah, so, my entire life, I would kind of figured. Even after I got into program, I was like, well, I'm still not the problem. And if I leave the home, like everything will get better. And so I went as far away as possible for college. I went to the East Coast, where it was really cold. And I knew my mom wouldn't follow me because she hates the cold. She didn't. She didn't follow me. She was afraid of the snow. I thought I'd left all the Al-Anons and all the AAs behind. And then I found out actually college is like the best place to meet people in AA or that we'll need it in the future. And I was like, damn, Al-Anon meeting would be really helpful right now because I'm dealing with so many alcoholics that just keep I'm just like a magnetic force for them. They just keep finding their ways to me. Without Al-Anon and Alateen, I would not have been able to get through college. I would not have been able to deal with like the excessive drinking that everyone was doing when that was just not for me. And like when I was younger, same with like saying about the AA meetings, I wish I was an alcoholic so bad because I was like, if I stop drinking, my problems are going to go away. But with Al-Anon, I'm like, my problems just keep coming up. I fix one, another one just keeps coming. And I have to go talk to someone. And I'm like, keep coming back. It works if you work it. I was like, why do they keep coming though? I keep coming back, but the problems keep coming too. They're just new ones. But I learned to accept that. I learned that accepting everything that's out of my control is just like so calm and peaceful. Like in our house, in my own life, I feel at peace, which is not something I ever thought I'd be able to feel as a kid. Like my brain, ADHD and everything, it turns off sometimes. The hamster stops running. I'm able to sit in a meeting with my mom or just like sit down and like have a conversation that we would not have been able to have, that I couldn't imagine us being able to have 10 years ago. Like I have a relationship with both my parents that I couldn't even imagine. I couldn't even imagine 10 years ago all three of us coming up to speak and talk about the chaos that was our house because it was still so chaotic. And I'm just so grateful for this program, not just what it's done for me, what it keeps doing for me, but for my family, for everyone else's families, hopefully. Because I just know that if I like keep coming back and keep being of service, even like if I leave for a little bit of time, like I'll always find my way back to these rooms because they'll always be here and doors always open and someone's always ready to give me a hug, whether I want it or not. Yeah, I'm going to let my mom speak because she needs a little more time than us because she's got a lot to say. But thank you so much for this meeting and for everyone for letting me share.
Sorry, I'm the shortest one in the house. Hi, I'm Jita, grateful member of Al-Anon and grateful to be an AMIUS. First of all, I want to thank the AMIUS out there. I saw a bunch of them in this room. Thank you so much. I guess time for me to defend myself. You all hear the truth from my family members. But guess what? I have nothing to defend because everything they say is the truth. And yes, if you come to my house, you still, if you open up the cabinet, it's still labeled and face it just exactly like that. It's just because that's the only place I have the control. Yeah. So what was like, what happened, and what is like now? I'm not going to go too crazy a lot. I grew up in Thailand, in Asian family. You grow up, you have to be perfect. You are expected. You have to smart. You have to be successful, on and on. And what was I like? I was crazy bitch. I'm a complainer, I'm an angrier, I'm a fixer. My expertise is I can jump to fix your problem before you even know you have the problem. And that probably tells everything about me. And, you know, I grew up seeing my mom and my dad. My mom is, I grew up with my parents is non-treated Al-Anon. And my mom is just very, or everything. She, if you want to have the logo for the Al-Anon, it's her. Because she can be control freak, yelling and screaming. If that doesn't work, she would be mother and she can be poor me thing. You do thing to me, you don't love me and crying and whatever. And guess what? I'm her daughter. Exactly the same thing. The same way, you know, I grew up, I would say I would never be like my mom. But that's the only thing I know. That's how I grew up. And my dad, it just, he was a general. And his work, he's the boss. He tell people what to do and everything. I love to go to work with him because I get to be a leader boss. And when he came home, everything is just about my mom. Whatever mom wants, he will please her. And I always look at to that. I just like, how can I find a man like my mom? I would never find a man like my mom. I mean, sorry, my dad. I'm like, oh. And guess what? When I met my husband, I found my dad. And guess what? You guys took him away, especially the boys in this room. Because when we together, he want to please me. He even like spoil me. He even like whatever, you know, he just go out of his way and do thing and everything. Yes, dear. Yes, dear. Yes, dear. All of a sudden he come to 7 o'clock, let's rock. No, honey. All of a sudden he had a voice. All of a sudden he has opinions. What the hell? I thought if he come here, he would be more perfect and our family life would be perfect. And yes, that feeling cheat. You know? But guess what? That's what the man I want. I always, you know, every single time I was abused, very abused. You know, I'm the captain team of my debate team in high school, undefeated. You figured out how my house would be. Nobody would argue with me because you never win. Because communication for me, I tell you what to do and you better do it. Or you better hide it very well because you will get hurt. And at home, you know, so many times I keep telling him, like, beat him up. I'm very verbal abuse. I would say very mean thing. And he was crying. He's 6 feet tall and he was down on the ground. And he said, honey, what do you want me to do? Even though I did everything exactly what you tell me what to do, it's still a problem. You know, thanks for the Al-Anon. It's not his, he is not the problem. The problem that I don't know how to feel good about myself. I don't know how to love myself. When I first came in, you know, every single one just said, just keep coming back. I hate it. Why would I coming back? I tell you that I want to come to Al-Anon like a quick fix that I go to 7-Eleven, get Slurpee and hot dog. Nice to know you. I'm done. If you just give me the secrets how to fix my people, I call them my people because they are mine, right? And you keep loving me. The one thing that, the first thing that when I learn about feelings, the feelings of love, you guys keep loving me even when I'm a bitch. I'm just sitting in the room like, man, yeah. When you have the newcomer time, I love it. I get to say what exactly it just in my head. I have to tell you, I did not say it from my heart because I don't know how to do that. I only know how to follow my head when my head spins. And my head is spin 20,000 miles per second. It just, I cannot even know what is in my head. And, but the first thing I learned about feelings, you guys keep loving me. And loving, and every time I come in and angry and crazy and complaining and stuff, you throw the love at me until I just like, these people are sick. They are so sick. You know, I walk in here, you know, when you read about understanding Al-Anon, right? Understanding ourselves. They're just, I'm all of that. Arrogant, smart, self-righteous, ego, I know it all. If you can put my name in that, that is me. I walk into the room of Al-Anon, I thought I know everything. I'm super smart. But I can tell you today that I'm so dumb. I don't know anything. In a good way. Meaning that, and I don't need to know all everything. I can be me. I know about Jeter. That's what the Al-Anon taught me. Know about me. Because you love me, I feel that love. And you taught me how to love myself. And then I don't even try it. My love, it just expel. It just go out to other people. I can tell you that it just, if you live in my house, you know, they always afraid of me. If I just like, you know, I can tell you this. As Christmas, and I always angry. And we have Christmas tree, and my husband have this 1,000-year-old light that he want to decorate. And I'm telling you, everything for him, when he put it up, he measure every single thing. The tape measure out, angle, centimeter, millimeter, and it just drive me crazy. And I was so angry. And every year, every occasion, I'm the one who always angry. And three of them, you know, are the oldest daughter too. One of the Christmas, I'm just like, at night we try to do this and I got angry. And I'm probably a year in the program, very new. And the lady keep telling me that, just fake it. Just fake it until you make it. But I'm a real person. Which is not true. You know, I lie all the time. So, and I said, fine, you can do it. I'm not going to do it. And you guys cannot do it without me. I went to lay in bed and I pretend, and they come like really like quietly. I pretend like I'm asleep. And this is God do for me when I cannot do for myself. I fell asleep at 8 p.m. Everybody who knows me, I don't sleep until 3 a.m. I don't go to bed early. I woke up in the morning and I saw the Christmas tree. I walked there and I looked, and thanks God, I remember to pray before I walk out for some reason. And I look at the Christmas tree, and our oldest daughter bedroom kind of like this. It's just like in the cartoon, you see the three head like this. And I just said, take a deep breath. I did not believe what I said, but I said it. Wow, it's not bad. I think it's terrible. All I see is three people. They walk out and they're jumping and hugging, and four of us hugging. Oh yes, mommy love it. Oh my God, we did it right. Mommy love it. At that moment, that this is all I want. I want a happy family. And all the time I blame on other people. When you, I heard that in AA or somewhere, they say, when you point two finger out, three finger point at you. I don't point that way. I point that way. 10 finger out. It's just like, it's not about me. It's just because the way I grow up. I cannot admit that my fault or I did something wrong. Because that is not perfect. Growing up at little Jeter age, you have to be perfect. You know, if I said, sorry, I make mistake. No, 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 I can't do that. Because it's just my perception inside of me. Oh my God, Jeter, you F up. You done. That's it. You know, and this is what I want. I always look at like, I want a happy family. Yes, I blame to our oldest daughter. I blame my husband. He's not perfect. I blame my younger daughter, my sister, and everything but me. You know, I have to look in the mirror. What is the problem? The person in the mirror. And thanks God, you know, I got the sponsor for the wrong purpose. Because I thought if I pick the wires and they work the program and she's going to fix my people. I asked her to be my sponsor. Before I asked her, I have about, really have the notes, right? I have about 8 pages long of that for qualification. Who's going to be my sponsor? She better be there. She's not going to tell me to do this. And she's going to say this and blah, 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 on and on. And so I got sponsor. I got resentment. She did not fix my people. She told me to leave them alone. And she put me into work. Not she tell me what to do. But, you know, every time I call her and crying my tear, oh, my, why, my people, they did not do that. Who she, they, it, they always did it wrong. She said, hey, Jeter, I'm going to be of service here and there. I said, okay. Not because I want to go. Not because I've been interested into the work in the program, I want to leave the house. I don't want to stay with these people. And I want to finish my poor me story. I have in the car with her one-on-one for 2 hours drive. And guess what? When I show up, it's 2 more people there. Nice. And another resentment going on. I told my sponsor, I think she's here. I think she have too many sponsors. I think she should have only one, and that one is me. Because that is me. I want everything for me, for myself, and myself only. I need to be the center of the attention. You know, when you're growing up in a crazy household, you never have the voice, you never have the attention. Nobody even noticed that you're there. That is just how I grew up and how I feel. You know, I work the step and the tradition and the concept. And the great things for me is be of service. I get to go somewhere else to talk to different people, to get the different experience, strength, and hope with the same problem. But I hear in the other way, in different way. You know, that's a triangle. I feel like I'm in the middle of the triangle. I be safe. And, you know, and the gift for me that, especially that be of service above group, you know, get to work more on my tradition. I have service manual. If you see my service manual, have the sticky note stick out everything. I go word by word with my sponsor because I do not want to come out from my crazy thinking and control freak thinking. It's come out from the book. When I go be of service, we don't have to argue about, oh, the problem occurred, open this page and just read it out. And I just have to let it go. And, you know, being an Amias, work with the kids. And when you talk, she talk about SCAC, I have another resentment. Because we have agreed that in our family, each of us work our own program. And for me, as being as Amias, I'm not going to sponsor the meeting that she go to. And I'm not going to go to SCAC. She said, Mommy, when I be a chairperson, which is the next year after they close, she's supposed to be a chairperson. She said, Mommy, then you come when I be a chairperson. I still haven't gone to SCAP. But maybe not the place for me. That's why I think that's God's job for me. Like he have the job for me. Okay, SCAP closed. So I'm part of the World Service, California World Service Commitment Board member as the Alateen event coordinator. So that is 3 years commitment. We will get together, five of us, I think as six of us, one Alateen too. So we like redo everything about guideline, behavior, how to have the event, how to be safe and everything. And we got that done and my job done, my term, my commitment 3 years done, and another resentment. I just got, damn, this resentment keep coming up because I get all of this, but I didn't get to enjoy because I think last year they have this gap for the first time for how many years? It's just for a long time. So we have this gap back. Yeah, for 5 years. And yeah, so. And another thing that, you know, you heard we talk about, we're going to go to Thailand. I have working on this for a very long time, maybe not the right way before because my smart thinking, that's why it's got me here. I did on my own, try to have the central office, AIS office now, they are in Thailand. Try to bring the Al-Anon meeting into Thailand. Try to translate the book into Thai language. I start about... I think maybe 7-8 years ago, but I do on my own. So it's never go anywhere. but I got a lot of information. So last year when I spoke at the convention in Thailand, so we met one, first of all, I want to say hi all my fellow from Thailand, Australia, Arizona, and Chicago. So they came here just because of this meeting, not because of me, you know. I keep telling them, this is the best meeting in the world. So I met one fellow, and she lived in Thailand, and she talked about she want to do this and stuff, and we exchanged information, and a couple of months later, she emailed me and said, Gita, are you still interested in doing this? I said, yeah, I'm in. So we did. We have a committee team, and we got the AIS office register and have the group number. We have the meeting with WSO, try to submit the translated literature. We did submit two pamphlets, Understanding Ourselves and Alcoholism, and this is Al-Anon. So hopefully they will approve it by the end of the year, because we have another convention that focus on Thai people. And, you know, the meeting is 5 a.m. because it's 8 a.m. Virginia Beach time. And people, you know me, I don't go to bed until 3. I don't wake up until noon. I'm a noon person. I'm not an a.m. person. But every single minute, every second worth it. It's not because other people. I do this because of me. I can put my focus in the right place. And when I go to Thailand, I have my own meeting. Otherwise, you know, when we go to Thailand, I just go to AA meetings. I don't want to stuck with those AA meetings again with the alcoholics all the time. I have to have my own, you know, because my program is amazing. The Al-Anon program is amazing. And I love working the program. I can say that now, you know. I never say that before. I just hate everything you guys say. I just came in here with attitude. I think you guys are so dumb. Because I came in, the lady said, I asked her the first meeting, the newcomer, I said, can you give me the secrets how to fix my people? And she said, I don't know how this thing works, honey. I'm here 25 years and I still don't know. But you don't know. You here 25 years and you tell me keep coming back? I can tell you that. I said the same thing what she said. I don't know anything. I just act like I know because my ego. I need to be accepted. I want you to look up to me because I don't know how to look up to myself. I always put myself just down in the ground, in the muddy, and you're a piece of nothing. You know, working the program, it just helped me. Did not fix my people. You hear? I'm telling you that the second year of my program, and by this time, I'm very deep in my recovery. You know, I remember a few old timers in the room said, Gita, you're going to do well. I said, no, don't you see my house? It's a mess. And she said, I see the willingness in you. I said, then you tell me to jump. I'm not going to ask how high. I'm going to ask you first a little bit because I'm my nature. Then I may jump. But I'm so glad that I did. I saw it working to you guys. And, you know, in our household that run by 12 tradition. By this time, you know, I'm not the boss anymore. Tradition 2, the only authority is our higher power. We have the family meetings. And thanks God for the, you know, no crosstalk. I can't talk. You know, you heard it. I always speak for my whole family. And, you know, I learned how to listen. When I listen, I hear the message. I never hear the message of what you try to tell me, because whenever you're talking, my head is already created and spinning, say, what, how I gonna come back? I don't hear a word what you try to tell me. And your opinion, it doesn't matter. Why would I waste my time for you to talk? That is just, I did not in my book. Today, you know, from a tiger mom, from the helicopter's wife, from the crazy sister, I can be loving and kind, Gita. I am. We have very good relationship. I'm so lucky that, I have such a great family. We talk about everything. Maybe I talk a little too much, but everything. Like me and my husband, we work a lot, like in different time, In the end of the day, he drive home and I do thing, and we always on the phone. How's your day? And this and that. And me and our daughter, it's just like we talk about everything. When she have problem with life, it's hard for mom like me to just sit there and listen and have poker face. Like, because I learned from you guys, even face expression that you judge other people. I did not know that. I do all the time. All the time. And I remember pick them up in high school. And for after the dance, four or five girls together, I'm just driving and they jump in and say, "Oh, you hear that? They're behind the building. Oh, they're smoking and drinking and stuff." But Jida, you're just a taxi driver. You are just a taxi driver. You are just a taxi driver. And when I dropped them off everywhere and drop, she went to bed. I called my sponsor. "You're not gonna believe this. You know they're doing this and this and that." And she said, "Who did not do that? Think about when you were 15." Said, "Oh, I forgot." That's why, it's not like you have to being very genius and super smart to work this program. It's so simple, very simple, but it's very hard to do it, hard to break that habit. And for me, Al-Anon for me is a perception deceit for me. And the program is self-discipline, because I don't have that. And you talk about boundary, no boundary. Why would we have boundary? You just do what I say. When you say keep it simple, easy, does it? It's so easy. If you just do what I say, everything would be fine. Done. If you listen to me. And we kind of like it's this is so funny when you hear my husband talk about when he get laid off. The first thing come in my head, like, "Oh my God, you keep this for 16 hours. Why don't you tell me?" And in my head, it's just like, "Oh my God, how did he feel when he hear that word?" Instead of pre-programmed, "Oh, you must do something wrong. You didn't do that job right. See, I told you you should do this way. You should do that, but you shouldn't do that." I did not have that come across my head, because the love that you guys give it to me, and I be able to receive that, and I learn how to love myself. And now it's the turn, my turn to give love to other people. That is so beautiful. I never experienced that in my life. And it just the one thing that in our family, we kind of like discover that we love each other so much, sometimes too much, that we start not telling the truth. If something bothers me, but I know if I say it's gonna hurt his feelings or her feelings, oh, maybe it just I wait. Then it still bothers me. So I did not be honest about it. And I think it just come up one day that we all say the same thing and we look at each other like, "Oh, that is the thing. It's just the one little thing is did not click." But it's come from love. And I can tell you that a couple of years in the program, that our oldest daughter, it just her disease is getting like very aggressive. And but my program is like getting taking off, maybe just a little bit at the time, but I won't be able to do any what I did. One night I walk out from the, she start from harming herself, suicidal attempt, everything, you name it. So one night that I walk, nobody home, just me and her. I walk out from my bedroom, just do routine check. It just, follow the guideline because she's still a minor. And past the kitchen, and living room is all dark. I don't want to turn on the light. Right before her bedroom, I saw something kind of like shadow here. I flipped the light. She was hanging from the ceiling. I can tell you that without the program, she won't be here today. You guys taught me, don't react. Do what's the next indicating in front of you. Grab the chair, cut the rope, lay her down, check her pulse, call 911. That's what I get to do. And, you know, when we sent her to the institution, I was a mess because the reality hit me. It's about I'm not good enough. What kind of mom raised that child to grow up to be like that? I don't have intention to do that. I have a good intention. My behavior may not right sometime, a lot of time. So when we sent her, I was a mess. I was at Burbank Airport. I cannot even do it. I make my husband do it. I can't do this. So they'll take off. I will sit there for 2 hours. I just have to tell myself that, Jita, are you loving this child enough to send her to get help? And that help isn't me because I always make it worse because I love her too much. Then I cry, I call. And I know exactly what to do. I drove to the meetings. My time's up. So if you hear, sorry, I didn't get to tell my avocado story. I'm out of time. But if you hear for a long time or you new and you haven't seen Miracle, it's always here waiting for you. All you have to do, hang on that seat very tight and keep coming back and open heart and open mind and let your higher power hand a miracle into your life. Thank you.